Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticost. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning we are going to discuss a very compelling story about a father's struggle with beliefs and unbeliefs, and also a very poignant story about this father's relationship with his son. And there is just wonderful encounter with the Aces that brings out the father's, let us say, it brings out his wavering, or whether that addresses his doubt. And so we are going to see the healing of the father alongside that of his demonized son, which is also very frightening in itself. Let me say at the beginning of the show that the world of the demonic, the world of demonism, is quite real. Now, if one is given to a materialistic assumption, then this discussion has no reality for such an individual or individuals. Nevertheless, the presence of demons and demonic spirits within the cosmos is very real, as we're told through the scriptures. And one has to just merely look out into the world to see the global distress, the global unrest, the global misery and unhappiness, as it were. Then one begins to understand that there is another realm at work here that is very real, and that imposes its will upon humanity. Now, I know that humanity likes to believe, or humankind wishes or likes to believe, that there is an inherent autonomy in actions and behavior. And on a certain ground, that may be true. But beneath that is this world that is enmeshed in the demonic. And so it is with that understanding it is with that cosmology in mind that we are approaching the text that is given to us in Mark chapter 9. Now, we're told in Mark chapter 9, at least we're given this narrative that begins in verse 14. So I'm going to be reading from Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a down spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him, that is the demonized individual, unto Jesus. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell to the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into fire and into the waters to destroy him. Now listen carefully to the words of the Father. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, that is the Father, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit crieth, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. That is speaking of the one, of the individual who was demonized. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had, and when he was come into the house, disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. In Ephesians 6, Paul writes about spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6, Paul states that the saint must take on, that is, put on the whole armor of God. Now this is what Paul writes in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This verse is pivotal. And I wanted to read this verse to you because of the question that the disciples asked the Jesus about their inability or their impotence with regard to being able to eject the spirit from the child. So Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on, the verb is at the beginning of the sentence in order to put emphasis on the importance of what the apostle is addressing. put on full armor of God. And so we need the adjective full because we need to understand that one cannot have on the different pieces or the panoply of God. We need to be fully armed, the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes or methodias in the Greek. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. In the Greek, it is blood and flesh. For our struggle, that is our warfare, our wrestling. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark cosmos, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on, that very strategic verb again, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able, that is, the word able there is powerful, that you may be powerful to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand. And then Paul talks about the different parts of the armor of God, beginning at verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. That is the righteousness of Christ, not our own righteousness. Like the Pharisees and the scribes, we did not have a fabricated facade type of righteousness. It is God's own righteousness that the apostle speaks of here. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the capstone is given to us in verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So, I want to point out in verse 12 that in Greek, the word struggle has to do with it is a picture of the Greek contest and of wrestling tournaments in which individuals fought to death. The picture that Paul paints for us is very serious and one that must be studied with great intention. It is one must be intentional with regard to understanding what spiritual or understanding the nature of spiritual warfare. Jesus is giving his disciples an up-close first-person account of this type of spiritual warfare. That is not to say that they had never seen such cases before they were placed in the ministry with Jesus. I am not saying that. But now their lives are different. They have been placed in a new situation, and they are with him. And they are being trained in order to propagate the gospel. They are being trained in the seminary of life, as it were. They are being trained to see what human need is really like. They are being trained to have a spiritual perception of the human condition. Now, please note, this is long before any psychological theories. This is long before there were any algorithms to address human needs based on a certain viewpoint of the human psyche and based upon a certain regimen of pharmaceuticals being given to address symptomatic behavior. And so we are in this different, in this other realm. And so they are out in the field learning what can happen to the personality of an individual that is, that has been taken over by the demonic or by the presence of the demonic, of the demonic. So I want to get at this point, I want to look at the scene here. And so we have addressed some of the circumstances, and for this one who is demonized, I want us to consider the storm of the soul's affliction and this individual's tormented spirit. I would want us to consider the chaos of circumstances, the chaos of the spirit, the storm within the personality. And from the Father's viewpoint, faith in the midst of grief. Now, that is not to say that his faith is perfect. It is not. There is an intense emotional connection that the father has with his child. And so his heart is exposed because he has taken on, as it were, the pain of another, the pain of his child. This is a very intense scene. It is full of pathos. And this father is grief-stricken, but like the woman from, or the Canaanite woman who went to Jesus on behalf of her daughter, the father does not have as she did not have a paralyzing grief, but a grief that moved her to act on behalf of her daughter, this father is not chained by a paralyzing grief which stops all action, but he has a grief that motivated him to seek help for his loved one. And so, having said that, let's take a look at verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, or a spirit that keeps the demonized one from speaking. That is, he controls the vocal cords. I want you to understand that the demonic spirits have the ability to control neuromuscular behavior, as they can also take over the cortical layers or the cortical lobe of the brain and also control the brain as well. So this is a very serious spiritual medical condition. And Jesus is aware of the magnitude of what is going on. However, the disciples are not as yet aware of what is going on. But what they do know is that here is a situation that is beyond their ability. They recognize that. They recognize their impotence. They don't know what to do about this situation. They don't know how to approach it. Now, listen to the father's testimony in verse 18 about the nature of his son's chronic condition. Verse 14, and wheresoever he taketh him. Now, in the Greek, the idea is that to lay hold of or to see him. He careth him. So here, the idea is to seize or to make the individual convulse or to go into convulsions. And he foameth. So we know the severity of this condition. And gnashes with his teeth. And so the zygomatic and the muscles associated with the face and the neck and the demon causes the individual to go into a very, very difficult, very destructive behavior. And so he gnashes with his teeth and pineth away. That is, it's just waste away after the intense battle and that is pictured here when the muscles are being contracted and then the muscles are taken over. And then we see that after that event that the child wastes away. Father concludes in verse 18 by stating, and I spake to thy disciples that they should cast them out. They could not. And so the Jesus hears this and notice his objective clinical evaluation of the situation. And he answered him, that is the Father, and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Interesting, is it not? And how long shall I suffer you? And here, how long shall I suffer you means to hold up against you. Bring him unto me. And when they brought him to him, when they brought the demonized child unto Jesus. And note very carefully verse 20, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him. So the demon, the unclean spirit, recognized Jesus. That is, knew intrinsically who he was. And notice the reaction. Straightway the spirit tore him. That is, tore the demonized one. This is a very tragic situation. And I can't go into a great detail here due to the time, the length of the radio show. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And so then Jesus gets more information from the Father. And the Father tells Jesus that the situation is not acute, but has been chronic. And he asks his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, of a child. And then the father goes on with his, Jesus wants a clinical history of the condition, and the father gives him all the information that he can. And oftentimes, verse 22, this is the father, and oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Apolisi, in the Greek, to destroy him. When the scripture states that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost, that is referring to individuals, the word is the same word. Here the word is apolisi, and the other word is apolia, that which has been destroyed or ruined. Ruined. And so the spirit wants to ruin, wants to destroy this child. And so Jesus noted the impotence of the disciples, and then in verse 19, he notes the impotence of the entire generation. How long shall I be with you? And then he gets a history of the condition of this child. Now, if I am coming from a materialistic perspective, I will attribute the behavior or the phenomena, the behavioral phenomena, to materialistic means. That is, let me find something in the brain. Let me find something in one of the areas of the brain that can provide an answer for this situation. And it becomes very difficult. But here we have another clinical tool that Jesus has added, and that is, consider this other realm. Consider this other possibility. And it is not merely a possibility, but consider this other reality. And so it has always bothered me that when I was going to seminary, that pastors in training were told to always be those to hand over or to be a part of the ministry of introduction, because you were powerless to help. You were powerless to aid. You were powerless. Don't have the training to address the particular situation. And so this mantra, given often enough to pastors, they believe the mantra over against what is written in the scriptures. And we certainly say all scripture is given by inspiration of God, but when it comes to reality, it is a story completely. In my next show, we will go into more detail with this particular narrative, because there is so much here to see, and Father can explain his son's condition, but then Jesus is going to address the father's condition, and the father is going to be challenged, because the father is a very important part of the healing process that will take place in the life of the son. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Medicast. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.